Oh, yeah, I had the cold open this week.
Yeah, you wrote on our document, you wrote the five words that intrigue me greatly is Brian TikTok live vampire story, but vampire and story are capitalized to make it seem like it's like an event.
It was an event. Okay, so here's my Brian's cold open by Brian. Thank you so much. Esteemed colleagues.
I'm like snapping politely like we're in a coffee shop.
Esteemed colleagues, thank you. So I was on TikTok as an adult who is depressed is at this day and age. Mm-hmm. I was just scrolling through, like it was like 3 a.m. in the morning. And I come up with a TikTok live, which is a woman using a filter to make herself look like she has makeup on. And the caption is, chat with the real life vampire. Now,
ooh, that's fun.
I am intrigued because I'm thinking like, too. Oh, she's doing a bit. Like, oh, that's funny. No, I don't think she was doing a bit. like she's firmly convinced that she's a real vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was turned in like the 1800s and that only vampires can hurt vampires. So stakes don't work.
You know, that would be a rather interesting twist to the lore.
It would
right?
be. It would be an interesting
I'm
twist.
Thinking about it. It would be kind of interesting. Maybe she's it onto something. Maybe not but as a vampire, but as a writer.
As a writer, yes. But my favorite thing is, she said that one of my favorite things is that her nose could only be pierced by a vampire's fang. And I'm like...
So somebody bit her nose to give her a nose piercing?
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm like, okay...
What a fun way to get piercings, actually. No, I'm thinking about it. I'm kind of obsessed with her take on the lore. I'm kind of obsessed.
No, and then someone commented and she was like, oh, like, I forget their name. So they're like, oh, thank you for letting me feed on you earlier. Like, thank you so much. I was like, huh? So my annoying ass, I go like, do you know Dracula? She doesn't answer that. Are you scared of Buffy? Because like every vampire is scared of Buffy, obviously. Buffy's their boogeyman. And then I was like, walk in the sunlight, like, put your hand in the sun, like, tee-hee-hee. Like, just being a troll. But then I was like, Team Stefan or Team Damon, like, as a joke, obviously. And she goes, yeah, Vampire Diaries isn't real. That's fake lore. Get your vampire facts right. She said, get your vampire facts right. Like, it's entertaining TV, but they got vampires completely wrong.
But was she Team Stefan or Team Damon?
She
didn't answer. We need to find her and get an answer. I think
I keep getting her like pop up on my feed. So that's what reminded me like to put that in my notes for today. And I was just like, "Are you kidding me?" Like it was just so wild, just like watching her. And like I think I asked like, "Can you eat garlic bread?" And she goes, "I love garlic." And I was like, "Ah."
I'm obsessed with her take on the lore.
I know.
I'm obsessed, actually.
I'm like, what kind of vampire, like, lore? Like, is this a book? Like, what kind of book are you writing? Like, can I read it?
I'm kind of obsessed with, like, piercings via another vampire's fang. Because, like, you're going to get real up and personal with your titty piercer, aren't you? Like, even more so than you usually do. You know what I mean? Like, of course, you're already going to be tits out in front of your piercer, but, like, then they're putting their face to your boobs? They're biting your boob. Like,
yeah.
Do you accidentally get piercings if you get a little too excited during sex? I have questions.
Exactly.
I have some, like, is vampire BDSM not a thing because then they would actually be injured by it? Like, what? I have so many questions for her lore.
I came in on, like, book 4, and I'm like, I need the prequel.
I need books like, 1 through 3 as well as the prequel, please. Hello everyone, welcome back to Vampire Diaries, Vampire Diaries, Vampire Diaries, too late. This week we are watching season 6, episode 12, Prayer for the Dying.
I hope no one dies in this episode.
I sure hope so. This episode written by Brett Matthews and Rebecca Sonnenshire and directed by our boy Jeffrey Hunt. I'm B, joined by my co-host Brian. Say hi, Brian.
Hi, it's my first episode here.
I'm so proud. Everybody give a round of applause for my new co-host.
I'm so happy.
And what a first episode for you, really. Because, like,
honestly, I don't know who any of these people are.
The emotional value of this episode just tanked for you. I felt so many things. You probably felt nothing.
I feel nothing because I've seen this episode so many times. I'm like, yep.
This episode made me feel the full spectrum of human emotions because I felt so sad and I was so just like, I was just done. And then I felt a fury that is only unlocked by like something deep inside of you. Like I felt a fury unlike anything else I've experienced in my life. And those two emotions happened within like a minute and a half.
Yeah, there's a lot, like, this episode's very good, like, it paces at the beginning, but then at the end, it's like, phew,
what's going on? Line. Yeah, like, what is going on here?
And here's the best part is, it's written by Brett Matthews, and I'm like, this feels like a Legacies episode, but I can't explain why.
Because it's written by Brett!
But, like, it wasn't bad. Like, obviously, Legacies wasn't horrible, but, like...
Legacies wasn't bad. Legacies was just a different kind of camp.
Exactly. This was them trying to be a little bit more like, let's have fun with it. We're in season six.
But also it's like, they're also not having fun with it at all. You know what I mean? Like they're so serious, but then they're like also having fun with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's so weird.
Yeah. Like there's fun. Like a lot of the funny stuff that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is hilarious. I'm like, you really can tell Brett Matthews wrote this. Because he likes to put a little humor in, and that's why Legacies is so campy. But like, but then at the same time, it's like, no, we're going to get serious, though. And it's like, oh.
No, people it's are like, dying.
They're praying for the dying. Hello.
Wow, what a that was a sentence that you really bungled that one.
I did. You know what? I didn't go to school. I didn't learn math. English, whatever. Sorry, I quoted Drag Race on that one. But what was I saying? It's like they're preparing us, like, because I know what's coming in the next three episodes, I think.
We're about to go on, like, quite a journey. And, I mean, we already are. We're on a very not fun roller coaster right now.
Yeah.
The rest of the season is sort of a really wacky and wild ride. And
But, like, not in a bad way. Like, normally we say, like, in a wacky, like, it's like, we said that about season five, like, towards the end. Like, it's just wacky crazy. But this is a good wacky crazy. Like, this is, like, we get some of the best stuff we've ever gotten.
But also, again, Liz Forbes is dying. And this episode is so sad.
It really is.
Like the fact that it's so sad, hard cut to, like, twin merge shenanigans, hard cut to Delana making out in the hallway right after they thought Liz died, and then just like, I just it's just
I know it's so much happens in this episode, but at the same time it feels like nothing happened because we just it's just so much happened it's like it canceled itself like, out.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah, I think it feels so weird because, like, it's just one major plot point that happens for all three of these stories. You know, the Gemini merge and then the Caroline and Liz story and then the Delana story. All of those, like, only one thing happened for each of them. But, like, they're three wildly different things.
Yeah, there was, like, minor resolutions, like, to, like, the problems they had in this episode. But nothing major. So it's like, oh god, we're fucked.
So let's just go with the Brian synopsis in his synopsis era. Desperate to get out of the merge, Luke and Liv offer up both Kai and Joe in their place. Meanwhile, Caroline's cure for her mother has deadly consequences, and it is up to Joe to save Liz before it's too late. Finally, with the merge set to take place, Damon's risky plan forces one of the twins to take matters into their own hands. Great synopsis.
Brian, thank you so much. I'm a writer. Job.
You're a writer. Let's just jump right in, shall we? Because the beginning of this episode is very much like a horror callback.
Honestly, I love when they do this. I love, 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 love,
love, love. I love these horror callbacks. This is such a good... And also, like, Candace is the perfect first person to die in a horror movie.
You know? Oh my god, yes. Like, she would
like
be...
She's the perfect first girly to die in Scream. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love Candace. I love Caroline. Caroline, obviously, in this world, Caroline would be the final girl. Like, because, like, if we're going against... But if we're going with stereotypes in horror movies, she's not making it out alive.
She's so good. She's such a good first girly to die in a horror movie. She's got the vibe of, like, who died first in the very first Scream movie?
Drew Barrymore.
She has Drew Barrymore in Scream 1 energy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm right. I know. Oh, yeah, honestly. And plus, because this is still a Kevin Williamson show, whenever they tap into that horror, I love it. I want more.
Also, again, my boy Jeffrey Hunt did a lot of episodes of... a very prolific director across The Vampire Diaries, The Originals, and Legacies.
He did Legacies?
He also did, I want to point out, he did a bunch of Legacies.
Damn, I just probably just blacked out.
He also did the season premiere this season.
So good,
bestie. Jeffrey Hunt, my boy. Yes. I'm going to shout out him a lot this episode, because I think a lot of what makes this episode so good is the cinematography and directing. So just shout out.
Yeah, the cinematography this episode, even with that Delana kiss, I was even like, oh, this is good.
The Delana kiss, okay, we'll get to it later. Caroline wakes up in the middle of the night to a strange sound around her house. She goes to investigate, and she sees this like back door, the back light is on, and she goes up to the door, and then jumping against the door, covered in blood, is Colin, the cancer patient from last time. Later, Stefan shows up to see what's happened and how Colin has managed to make his way to Mystic Falls despite being compelled to forget everything.
Yeah, also, how the hell did he get here in like less than a night?
Yeah, literally. So Stefan and Caroline both realize that Colin is a vampire, which means Colin died after Caroline gave him her blood.
Uh-oh.
Yikes, besties. Yikes, bad time.
It's like how we said last episode, maybe we should have stuck around for, you know, a day.
Literally any time. And I love that that's like Elena's thing too. She's like, why didn't you do this immediately? like Elena really is the only science major among them. She's like, guys. Yeah. Guys.
I love it. She was so smart for that. She was so valid.
She's so valid for that. Elena's rushing around to get to work as Damon shows up to babysit Kai. They make some mention that Alaric is, like, gone looking for something in this episode, and I think it's so fucking stupid that he's not here. It fucking pisses me off.
Ironic that you're like, where's Alaric?
Like, where is he?
Honestly,
this is,
like the
a
one
big
time-,
time for him. The one time an episode needs him.
The one time we need Alaric with a crossbow, he's not here.
Anytime now, bud. Anytime. Come on in. I'm just waiting for him to jump out of a bush or some shit. But no.
We'll turn around. We'll pretend like we didn't see anything.
Damon tries to take Elaine out on a date, and he's recreating a date that they've already had. And she's like, I want to start over at the beginning. Anyway, Elena has a new date ring that was made for her by Joe. That's this whole scene. And I fucking hate Elena this episode.
It was so hard, like, trying to, like, summarize this. I was just like, how do you...
Some of these scenes were so weird.
They're short.
Some of
and
them
nothing
were
happens.
So like meandering and like nothing happened. Yeah, it was just so weird.
It just was. I just wanted to. I was screaming because I was like, "Can I just put like what we need to talk about and just call it a day?"
The answer is yes.
I almost did. I almost gave up, and I was like, "No, I put myself here, and I'm finishing it out."
So there's that. Delana had been going through a little bit of a resurgence for me, but now they're firmly back in the shithole. I fucking hate them again.
They were so close.
They were going through a little bit of like an era. They were about to get me, but no. They're fucking annoying still.
They're in their lover era.
Lover is nowhere close to Taylor Swift's best album. Let's not.
Oh God, no.
Let's not.
I'm sorry. Speak Now would like to enter the chat.
Not even Lover wasn't even a good era for her. I'm not even a Swiftie, and I know that. Tyler and Liv are having a little cute moment.
They were really cute this episode.
They're like talking about like where they could go for spring break.
And they talk about going to the moon. I'm like, okay, like, let's get serious, girl.
Let's get serious, girly. It hits a little bit harder when you know that her birthday is now instead of in 2 weeks, like Tyler thinks it is. So I do think that is kind of funny, actually. Anyway.
She's just like, hey, like, let's go find Atlantis. It's like, what?
It's like, all right, calm down, girl. Settle for fucking now knowing, like every other rich white kid.
Yeah, but now knowing what we know about, like, Vampire Diaries lore, now that we know that gods exist, I'm firmly on Team Liv and thinking that Atlantis actually exists.
She was onto something, maybe.
And just, it was swallowed by Malivore. Like, I'm just kidding.
So the whole damn city? The whole city?
And then we find out Atlantis was actually Mystic Falls.
And then we find out that this whole show was just a dream.
Yep. And that Hope wakes up and Landon's still alive. Surprise.
I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of forgot that Landon died at the end of Legacies.
You know what? So did we.
Because he was, like, kind of still there. You know what I mean? Like, he was still just hanging out.
It's like he's dead, but not dead. He's, like,
dead, right, but now. He's still, like, kind of there. Yeah.
He's Anchor Bonnie, basically. But without the threat of death.
Jesus. Anyway, Joshua, Liv's dad, shows up bringing a present for Liv, and they're gonna go out to eat later with Luke, and it's gonna be like a fun little birthday dinner before you have to fucking kill your brother.
I know, right? Or die at the hands of your brother. Like, happy last day alive. Woohoo!
Happy last day alive. Let's go to TGI Fridays. Like, come on.
Let's get some jalapeno poppers, kids.
We're going to go and get a fucking Bloomin' Onion, and then you're going to fucking kill your brother.
That's all that steakhouse.
I know.
They're just going to go to all the chain restaurants. Like, let's go to Chili's.
They're going to have $1. The worst stomach problems of all time ever, and then not be able to do the merge because of it.
Yeah, like, sorry. Like, I had a margarita Applebee's.
Man, they load those motherfuckers up with alcohol, too.
They do.
Anyway, Tyler gets mad at Liv because she's been telling him that her birthday is actually 2 weeks from now and instead of right now. So
Surprise.
Anyway, the next scene, they make up a medical term called stage 10 vampire cancer, which I think
I think they just called it like stage 10.
They called it stage 10 cancer, and I'm like, but I think
calling it vampire cancer is funnier, but like, cancer's not funny, but like,
calling it vampire cancer is funnier. I will give you that.
Yeah. Thank you. I will be here all week.
Basically, the guy that they brought back to life, his cancer was strengthened by the vampire blood, and then it got worse and then killed him. So basically, Joe theoretically says that he's a stage 10 cancer patient because he's double stage 5 now. Great.
Yeah, and now he's unable to die.
Everybody sort of like gives Caroline this look because she did immediately give Liz her blood last night, so... again, God, Jesus, good job, bestie.
I mean, I'm happy that there's consequences to this, like, because obviously they needed to answer this question, because there would have been fans who would have been like, but they could have just used vampire blood. Like, why didn't they use vampire blood to heal Liz? You didn't have to do this. They talk like Moira Rose.
I was gonna say, why are they somewhat British?
They're Moira Rose. But like, you know that fans would have been like that. And then that if they never addressed it, they would have been like, plot hole. Like, oh my God, lazy writers. So the writers did this as a way to kind of keep us on our heels and give us hope. And now people are like, oh, how dare you do that to Liz? It's like, guys, pick your lane. It's like they needed to
it's
do this.
Just
like,
such
I understand why they had to do this so quick, so fast to have like action consequence, like pretty quickly. But still just like, oh my God.
Joe comes up with, like, an idea. Or actually, sorry, there's a little bit of Stefan and Elena scene where Stefan's like, Caroline just wanted to save her mom. And Elena's like, yeah, but why didn't you wait, like, a day at all?
I remember when I was watching this, I was like, thank you, Elena.
I was literally so grateful that Elena fucking said it, because I was like, thank shit somebody is. Like, thank God somebody knows the scientific method on this show, because fuck if anybody else does.
I felt so validated in that moment. I was like, thank God.
But Stefan's basically like, you didn't see the hope in Caroline's eyes. I didn't want to be the one to take that away. Bestie, I would prefer you crushing my dreams to my mother dying painfully in front of my eyes.
Honestly, if it came to like, because that's the one thing, like when some, like, and I even think even Liz says it later, like, you don't lie to a sick person. You also don't want to lie to the people around you, especially if they're an adult. You want to be brutally honest.
Exactly.
I understand lying to a kid. Like, because you don't want the kid to see the severity of it, but you still want them to understand what's going on, but you don't want to tell them the full gory details. But as an adult, like, you need to know, like, I feel like there's no excuse to, like, kind of, like, pussyfoot around it.
Pussyfoot. Exactly.
but, like, there's just no, like, you have to be, like, direct and honest and on it and be, like, gun on the trigger, like, hey, boom. You see it's that hope? Just... Gone.
It's just, it's not even just like your hope is gone. It's just like at least being fucking realistic. And like, I think it's just so.
But it's also so wild because like, I understand where Caroline's coming from because I've been through this. So
but you're like, oh. Like... but I also don't, I don't understand why Stefan was not more of a realist in this situation. You know what I mean? Like, I think if anybody is at fault for what is occurring right now, it's probably Stefan. Like, I understand you didn't want to, like, crush Caroline's heart, but you should have, like, put some breaks. You should have offered a 24-hour observation period. Please. God. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. I feel like had he said, like, let's stay here at night and keep an eye on him and make sure, like, everything's gone, because like they could have easily run some tests and been like, yeah, that cancer's going bigger.
Cancer's going bigger, better, faster, stronger. Like it's a fucking Daft Punk song.
Cancer got a reboot on the CW.
Yeah, that's just the new Supernatural, right? But anyway, exactly. Inside the hospital, Joe has come up with an idea to do a full blood transfusion on Liz to try and get like the vampire blood out of her system and regular human blood back in. Cool. She's not like confident in her answer, but she's like, this is not a normal medical problem. This is a magical medical problem. So tough luck.
It's just like, when you're thinking logically and you hear full blood transfusion, you're like, oh yeah, that should work. But this isn't just like regular blood. Like this is vampire blood. So obviously, will that work?
It's just so.
Spoiler alert, it doesn't.
It does not. It does not.
Nothing works.
But Damon in this scene looks like he's scheming. And we'll come back to Damon's scheme later.
I love how I put in my notes, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Because when you see Damon do that face and they push the camera in real slow on him, you know you should either run for the hills or duck and cover.
It's just, again, we've come back to this. I think Ian's facial expressions have gotten better. But this episode reminded me why I used to think he was acting inside of a mask of his own face, because you do kind of get like those vibes from these expressions.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
Do you remember my old conspiracy theory where Ian Somerhalder was wearing a mask of his own face?
I think so. It's been so long.
It's been so long since your first episode.
I know. It's been so long. It's been 55 years.
We've been doing this podcast for fucking 4 years now, so.
Oh my god. There's been 12 Supernatural shows. They've all gotten canceled by the new CW. Walker got canceled, probably. I don't know.
What if Walker's the only thing left standing?
It would not surprise me.
It would make me laugh my ass off.
Walker and All-American. I would just be like, yep.
Well, All-Americans, though, like, is good. Walker,
Oh, is it really? I'm not a football, like.
I'm not a football fan either, but I've heard a lot of people have good things to say about All-American.
Yeah, I've heard like, it's not, like, bad, so I'm like, you know what, sure.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard it's somebody else's cup of tea, so I'm like, all right, let you live. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not the kind of person who's like, yeah, football, we gotta run down the team, guys, and we gotta win.
We gotta get that third down. We gotta convert that into a touchdown run.
And it's a home run. Score. I know baseball better because of A League of Their Own. That's really about it. Also, I feel like baseball's the gay sport, you know?
Well, any sport can be a gay sport if you're wearing tight enough pants, so jot that down. Number two, wrestling is the gay sport. Wrestling is the gayest
100%.
One.
100%. And they used to call me a fag for doing drama club.
Literally, if you had just, like, done it in a wrestling ring, you would have been the most popular boy of all time ever.
I was already was popular. I'm joking, I wasn't.
Anyway.
I was a freaky art kid. Anyway.
Hard cut. We only have 90 minutes left, Brian.
I forgot we have a time limit now. I forgot we have a time limit.
It's okay. I don't really give a shit. It's Luke and Liv's 22nd birthday, which means they will have to merge. But Luke and Liv have a plan to persuade their dad, Joshua, to let them out of the merge and let Joe and Kai merge instead. Tyler wants to play, like, boyfriend and talk to Joshua for Liv, but Liv is like, no, stay the fuck out of it. It's not your business. Anyway, Luke shows up in a suit, and this is... Can I say something controversial yet brave?
Oh, God.
This is the straightest that Luke has ever looked. He looks like he's going to business school.
Oh, my God.
Can
yeah,
I say
actually.
That?
Can no, I say you can. That? It's okay. You're an ally. It's fine.
I'm also a lesbian. First and foremost, what? I am a lesbian. Everything else comes after that. Everything else is secondary.
I'm a lesbian first, ally second.
Exactly. Some of y'all motherfuckers will not catch support from me, but I am always That's a true. Lesbian.
But no, like, I fully, yeah, I can, now that I'm thinking about it, he did roll up. He could have easily rolled up in, like, a pink suit or something, or, like, something a little bit more gay. Capris, maybe.
I was just saying, I don't know if there's a way that you can make him look more gay in this suit. I just think this is the straightest he's ever looked, you know?
It's also the straightest he's ever gonna look.
But, Anyway, Liv and Tyler have a cute moment, like, you're not gonna lose me, I promise. Anyway, Caroline has this realization that she is the one to blame for killing her mom, basically, and
it's really sad.
That's a whole moment. Again, this episode, wildly sad for, like, most of it.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
I know.
I want funny monsters back. Can we?
We're not gonna get that till Legacies.
I want funny monsters. I don't want.
We'll get our funny monsters later.
Where's the leprechaun?
Where the fuck is Santa Claus? Kicks down door. Where the fuck is Santa Claus?
Yeah, exactly.
Stefan. And Caroline have a moment, and he's like, you know, you're an optimist. That's exactly what your mom needs right now. They hear something from Colin's room. Colin is stabbing himself repeatedly, coming to the realization that he cannot die. So.
It's so dramatic, like, what he's doing. Like, I understand. I understand, like, you have to be, like, dramatic. Like, for TV, we gotta play up the dramatics, you know? But, like, what this man is doing? He's just, like, he took that, like, the IV holder and was like, ah,
yeah. And it's kind of funny, like, going from this, like, sweet and almost romantic Steriline moment to then Colin stabbing himself in the chest. It's kind of just like, okay, this is one of the more minor whiplashes we're going to get this time.
Yeah.
So there's that. Colin begs Caroline to help him die, and Damon comes up and grants his wish by ripping out his heart. Damon says that the blood transfusion didn't work, and he tells Caroline that Colin isn't the only one she killed.
Which, Damon, that was cold.
Cold.
Like, I know Damon has said, like, some bad things, obviously.
Of course, like, this he's one, Damon.
But this one was like, I was like, ooh. But also, he's not wrong.
Exactly, which is what next, like, Stefan tries to stop Damon from saying anything else, and Caroline's like, no.
Yeah.
This is what everybody's thinking. I killed my mom. Realist. Thank you, Queen.
I mean, because Damon wasn't wrong. He mean he could have said it better. But like,
he maybe could have been a little more nice about it, but you know.
But also at the same time, I have to remind myself that Damon's also grieving at the same time because Liz is his other best friend for some reason. I don't know.
Again, the weird like, bestie ship, yeah.
But yeah, on I'm here for it. I love it. But like, it's just like in your mind, you're like, oh, you gotta like remember, like, he's also hurting too, and he has a soul now. He's happy. Like, he's not that much of a dick yet.
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of understand, like, when you're in your grieving, like, you do say things you don't mean to people. So, like, maybe he didn't mean it, but, like.
Yikes.
He also could have just been taking his anger out on poor Colin.
Liz wakes up as Elena tries to get Caroline to come back to the hospital because she runs away after that heartbreaking realization earlier. Liz asks if the blood swap worked. Elena like tries to sugarcoat it, and Liz is like, bad karma to lie to sick people, girl. And she's like, all right, yeah, no, it didn't work, sorry. And then Liz, Liz like worries about, is like worrying about Caroline. And Elena's like, oh yeah, she just stepped out for a second to get a coffee. And Liz is like, girl, what the fuck did I just tell you? And it's like, yeah, so true, actually.
Like, if I was on my deathbed and people were still trying to lie to me, I'd be like, listen, you got limited time magic here. Like, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap this up. It's also very funny to remember that, like, Caroline, Elena, and Bonnie grew up together. So,
yeah.
Like, Elena is obviously also very close with Liz because she grew up probably running around her house for a third of the time. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, 100%.
That's your best friend's mom. And that's, Liz is just being like, girl, don't fucking lie to me. I love Liz, that, actually. It's Liz such a good little character like their second moment. Mom. Exactly. I love
which
it.
Which I always love. And plus, because she's the sheriff, like, you knew they could get away with anything. They're like,
exactly. In a nearby flower shop. Here's what bothers me about this episode, I think. And I think this is what it is. They take so much time in the middle of this episode to do the Caroline Liz thing. Mm-hmm. And then they just, like, they're done and they just go to Delana making out and then the merge. Like, it's just so sudden. Like, if they had interspersed some other pieces in here, that might have, like, worked a little bit more, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, yeah. It feels weird because we've been talking about this hospital sequence for so long because it goes on for like a good portion of the middle of the episode.
It does, honestly. It kind of feels like you're watching two separate episodes.
Exactly, and they just like squished them together and it just like doesn't work. Because I got home from work and I was like watching this and I was like, okay, when we get to a commercial break, I'll like get up and make some food. And I kept watching, and they just, like, never fucking cut to commercial. Like, at all. Like, what?
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, there was no commercials.
They were just, like, mainline the sadness, and then we're gonna hard cut to Delana making out. And you're just like, what? Yeah. Anyway, in a nearby flower shop, Caroline is browsing flowers for Liz's memorial service while Stefan tries to bring her back to the hospital. He's like, listen, I get it. What she did was out of love. Like, I remember what happened when my own mom was dying when I was little.
This hurt.
He says this that, like, while she was sick, he spent all his time trying to stay away from her because he was afraid of seeing her like that. And then his father sent his mom away and she died. And he's like, I would give anything to have one last day with her. So maybe go be with your mom. And then Caroline takes Stefan's hand and they go back to the hospital. Dramatic.
Yeah, I will say, though, what Stefan said, very valid as a little kid. Because, hi, 10 years old, dead dad. Like, yeah. Obviously, I wasn't around the hospital that much. My mom and dad didn't want me around that.
Yeah.
So it's like, when you get older and, like, after he's gone, like, I kind of started to regret, like, I didn't spend more time with him. Like, I, because I was also scared to see him like that. Like,
exactly.
So it's very valid with Stefan. It's a very smart, so if you're feeling like that, you're valid in emotions, bestie. But, like,
it's also Stefan's just, like, I think a natural reaction of, like, children is that you don't want to see your parents as, like, fallible. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you see your parents as something, like, strong and, like, everlasting, and then you're like, oh.
Liv and Luke do their best to convince Joshua that they shouldn't do the merge, but Kai and Joe should. And Joshua mentions something strange that I enjoy, but is weird. He's like, when I die, and if there is no merge, the entire Gemini Coven, the bloodline, will die with him. And again, this brings up the point, Brian, I don't remember if you were here for this discussion, but when Jordan and I were learning about the Gemini family, we talked about it like it's almost like a royal family, kind of.
Yeah.
Where, like, the twins, it's like the destined, like, bloodline thing. It's like witch royalty. But I thought it was interesting that he says, like, the whole bloodline dies with me, and he includes the rest of the coven in that. I think this is interesting because we'll put a pin in this and we'll go back to this exact sentiment when we discover the origins of siphoning and how it's heavily implied that siphoners exist because the Gemini Coven incested too close to the sun. So just like...
Oh,
just
I was here for this. I was here for that one.
Just put like a little pin in this sentence because we'll hear more about it again later when we learn about the abominations of the Gemini Coven. But I think it's interesting and I wish we had gotten to dig more into what actually happened to make siphoning and the merge also exist because they're both two very big weird magic phenomenons centered around this one coven from Portland.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Legacies was going to go in that direction. But then they kind of realized, like, the plot kind of ran dry, so they just abandoned it. But it would have been fun to see, like, Gemini Coven origins and, like, learn, like, why they have that, why they have to do the merge, like, why they're all connected, blah, 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 blah. That'd have been fun. I would have enjoyed it. I would have been here for it.
It's just interesting to me that they made two of these very big, like, magical events that are very unique and very interesting happen only because of the Gemini Coven. And then, like, after this season, we really don't go into them a whole lot.
No, not really.
Which is so weird to me. Because we dive too deep into, like, so many things in this fucking show. And yet they're like, Gemini Coven, one season, we're good. Like, come on, besties. Anyway.
Yeah, and that, I would rather two seasons of the Gemini Coven than one season of the Travelers.
Or, like, whatever the fuck goes on with, like, Reyna or the Sirens. I don't even fucking remember their names anymore. I just remember that one of them is played by a girl from Fast and Furious. So.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, I don't know. I think they maybe thought too small here.
Maybe.
Or they just, like, couldn't make it work afterwards. I don't know. It's very interesting to me, but I like the lore of TVD, by and large, right? I like digging into weird lore questions like that, but I also understand that that does not necessarily make for good TV. Whatever.
Yeah, I want, like, a full-on Bible of all the Vampire Diaries lore.
Literally, please. Please. Damon walks in on Tyler trying to wake up Kai. Damon stops him, and then he's like, well, now you've given me an idea, though, as though he didn't already have his idea. Whatever.
Yeah.
Using Tyler's phone, Damon calls Liv, asking to speak to Joshua, and he's like, hey, Joshua, bestie, we had Thanksgiving together, remember? Anyway, Mercury and Venus are going to line up tonight. Is that, like, good enough for a merge? Just wondering. Thanks. And sorry, I'm very much, I'm not, I'm giving you the spirit of the words, not exactly what Damon said, but I think it would be funnier if Damon said bestie.
It really would have been funny. If TVD was written in 2023. We're in 23 now.
Do you know what day it is, Brian?
No. Okay. Did COVID just start?
Well, again, yes.
Again. Woohoo, the remix.
COVID 2, electric boot. Well, now we're up to like COVID 7. COVID
4. It's the Fast and the Furious.
It's COVID Fast 5, Furious 6, Furious 7, Fast and Tokyo the Drift. Fate of the Furious, COVID 9, and then Fast X? I think that's the next one coming out.
I've never seen the Fast and the Furious movie. Oh, I've been Brian, on the ride at Universal.
They're so good. They're so good. I've been on the ride at Universal,
and all they did was Vin Diesel telling me that we're family, and that's it.
And you know what? That's the most important thing. That's what's fucking important about Fast and Furious, bestie. Is that when you're here, you're fucking family. It's like the Olive Garden of fast car movies.
That's what me and my friend said. We're like, is this Olive Garden?
Yes, it is. Fast and Furious is so good, everybody. The Fast and Furious movies are very bad, but very good. And they make me giggle. They make me giggle because they're...
They're so bad.
No, the first movie is just very 2002s. So there are gratuitous shots of like girls naked dancing women. With like their asses out. Yeah, exactly. But then also, more importantly, is Brian, the main character, Brian. Fucking, what's his name? Paul Walker. There we go.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. my dude. He like gets fucking punched by a guy, and then he like tells the dude, "You punch like a faggot," and then they continue fighting.
Yes!
And you're yes! like, "Oh, it is dreadfully 2000s."
Yeah, it's like Kelly Rowland calling Freddy Krueger a faggot. Like,
exactly.
Yes,
it's just.
So I love when people are like, "You should have watched those movies. They're so problematic." I'm like, you know what? I love it. Who cares?
They're funny
at the time. It was socially acceptable. I still do not forgive Hillary Duff for making Taylor Swift take out "You're Gay" from Picture to Burn. Give me the homophobic virgin, Taylor.
I think it's so funny when a movie is just diabolically 2000s, and the early Fast and Furious movies are just, they're sickeningly 2000s.
My favorite early like 2000s movies are like the Scary Movie parodies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Scary Movie 1 and 2.
Those are bones. Yeah.
Like, honestly, I love those movies. And, like, obviously, like, you know they're problematic.
Oh, for
sure. But they never fail to make me laugh.
They're
never.
So funny. It's just...
so, like,
I wish we could bring back the energy of somebody fucking punching you in the face and then you just looking them and being like, "You punch like a fucking faggot." Bring that energy back! Not in like a homophobic sense, in a no gay man I know knows how to throw a punch. Like, come on.
No, we don't.
Bring it back. It's just funny.
We slap.
I know. It's just so funny.
We slap and throw our mimosas.
I live in the Midwest, motherfucker. Some gay people hit like a truck. The dykes out here hit like a goddamn truck.
Midwest gays are built different.
Like, Midwest gays are fucking built different, but it's just, there's something about the way that he says you fight like a faggot. It's just so funny, and I'm sorry that I'm saying that line over and over, but it's funny, and I can say it.
Can we get the F-slur counter on the board?
Usually this podcast is family friendly. Sometimes I call you a faggot, and that's okay. We're family here. We're all family.
When you're here, you get called a slur. Then the non-harmful ones, obviously.
The fun ones. The ones that you and I are going to get called anyway, so why not have a little fun with it?
Exactly.
Where the fuck were we in this episode?
Wake up, Kai. It's my favorite board game. Yeah.
Kai wakes up now without all that magic. I don't know where it went. Woo. I guess it just sort of disappeared. I don't know. They don't talk about it at all, but whatever.
Plot device.
Damon says he's in need of a siphoner now, and Kai's like, ooh, okay, let's talk prices then.
Honestly, also, Kai's ready to buy some houses.
He's ready. Man, if he just sold that house from the 80s, they'd be good. They'd be good to go. You know what I mean?
Honestly, that house is probably worth like $12 million
by exactly.
now.
Exactly!
With all that land? Ooh.
And right outside Portland? Okay. Get the tech bros in there.
And it has an invisibility feature.
And it's invisible half the time. Did you notice this scene? They did that scene of Kai stepping out of bed. Did you notice, like, they, like, really focused in on his feet for, like, a while there? And I was like, is this, like, somebody's thing to look at this man's socked feet?
Dan Schneider directed this.
No, no, you can't see me, but I'm holding up the sign of a cross. Back, foul demon, back!
Oh my god, but I just love like when he stepped over to Ellie and goes hello or whatever he said.
Oh, hi.
He's like, hey, bye-bye. How you doing?
He's and suddenly also, like, a New Yorker.
Hey, how you doing? I'm walking
hey,
here.
Hey, how you doing? I'm walking without magic here.
I got socks on. I don't know who put them on me.
Hey, what do you need? I got these fucking socks. I don't know what to do with them.
Static electricity is the best I can do.
I knew you wanted a neck-breaking spell. The best I can do is some static and a sweater.
You got a balloon? I can make it better. I hate us.
I hate us so much. I want to go to bed so bad.
I know. I've been up for like 24 hours. I'm dying.
We both need to sleep.
We do. But I'm going to order a pizza because I haven't eaten today.
Ooh, so true, Kang. Get your pizza.
And it's 50%. And it's 50% off. It's Domino's, though. So I was like.
That's barely pizza. I know. So you're getting cardboard.
But it's 50% off, so it's fine. I'm getting 50% off the pizza, so they're going to give me 50% cardboard. And 50% pizza.
You know what? Yeah. Joshua reminisces that he reminisces about like Luke and Liv and whatever. And he's like, you guys are in this together. And then he begins the merge against the twins' will. And they try to break free, but they're unable to. And lucky for them, Tyler comes in and he knocks the fuck out of Joshua.
Which, good for him, honestly.
So true.
But it's just so wild, because it's like, could he just have done that the entire time?
Just kickstarted the merge? I assume he can only kickstart the merge when there's a celestial event, so I assume they had to wait until after dark for him to be able to kickstart that, so.
Probably. But it's still just like, you couldn't have done that, like, 22 years ago and just saved everyone a couple of, saved us a prison world?
Well, no, because remember, Kai's always going to win the merge because he's a siphoner.
Yeah. Never mind. I'm sorry. I forgot my lore.
Come on. Scammer gets scammed. We just went over this lore, too. Come on, bestie.
Scammer gets scammed.
Luke looks at Liv for a second and he's like, I'm going to be back. And then he runs away.
Pew! He got a grinder hookup. He has to go.
He heard the little grinder notification sound and was like, I gotta go.
DL Daddy wants me. You'd be surprised.
You caught me right as I was about to take a drink. Kai and Joe are in a park because... Oh, right. Wait. Did we talk about this? Kai,
no, we didn't. We didn't talk.
We totally skipped over Dr. Kai.
I even said it too, and I was like, yeah, sure, we said it.
Damon wants to use Kai to siphon the vampire blood and vampirism out of Liz. He siphons all of the magic out of Liz, but since Liz isn't strong enough, it triggers a heart attack. Kai escapes and snaps Damon's neck, and then he grabs Joe, basically. So,
yeah.
Liz is actively dying. Damon got his neck snapped and Joe got abducted. Not a banner day for our boys at the fucking Whitmore Medical Center. I'm gonna tell you that much.
Yeah.
Kai and Joe end up in a park after the other twins scene. Kai tells her that, like, you know, if this is another scheme, he's gonna kill her. And she's like, yeah, any closing remarks? And she's like, actually, fuck you. They don't swear on the CW, like, but you know, I wish
she could.
If you're
gonna kill me, she's like, if you're gonna kill me, I'm going up with my middle fingers raised at ya.
As she should. So the merge begins. They say their little lines. The wind starts up. It's all very dramatic. But it is stopped. Because Joe is knocked the fuck out by Link. And
Wyatt, with a giant hammer, with a spell, but like
just a spell
for comedic purposes, a hammer.
He bonks her on the head, and she's down.
Yeah.
Luke approaches Kai, and he's like, "We're gonna merge instead."
Okay. When I was watching this for the first time, you're watching this, and you're like, "This can't happen." Like, this isn't,
but
like,
then,
this can't work.
Luke lays out all the reasons that, like, it might actually work. Like, he lays out his thought process, yeah. And you're like, oh, shit. So Luke says that he can because they're siblings already. His, like, Kai's imprisonment had kept him at the age of 22, and now he's the same age as Luke. So for all intents and purposes, they're twins. They just, like, are like a little bit separated. Like, it's really, it's his loophole has merit.
Yeah, this is where a loophole started, and you're like, uh-oh.
This is not the first loophole, but this is the first loophole that made me go, okay, yeah, okay.
It makes sense. But like, when you're watching it in real time, you're like, huh?
Kai tries to back out, but Luke pulls him back in, and like, Luke, like, wins this, like, initial fight. He, like, pulls Kai back in, yeah. And he's like, you want to fucking go? And,
Luke actually was kind of a badass.
I know! I was like, okay, gay boy, wear
like,
that
where
suit!
Where has this Luke
been? Like, what? Like, what's been going on?
Like, where was this Luke when Elena was, like, bullying him for drugs?
Exactly!
Exactly. Like, damn, he could have taken Elena down in a heartbeat.
So the wind blows and lights explode all around them, and the merge is taking place.
Dun, dun, dun.
Kai and Luke's eyes turn white, and they both fall on the ground completely in sync, very dramatically. And Joe rushes forward trying to wake up Luke, but they are battling it out in the context of their minds now. Which really makes me thankful that they made this scene actually interesting on Legacies.
Yeah.
A lot of people have problems with how they did the merge or fake merge, whatever, on Legacies. But at least it's not this, because this was kind of boring as shit, actually.
Yeah, at least Legacies, like, at least we had, like, a pre-fight.
We had a boxing ring, we had an announcer, it was, like, a whole deal, yeah. Like...
And then it was, like, Lizzie came in, was, like, a hero, and then she kissed MG for some reason.
God. Fucking MG.
I know.
Sorry, I just look at Lizzie Saltzman and I see the world's best written repressed lesbian, and then I realize that they didn't even try to do it, and I'm like, fuck you guys. Anyway.
Season 5, we could have had it all.
We could have had it all. God. The thing about Legacies is that it's so easy for me to get back into it, and like, I can't do it. I can't get back into my hissy era. But also, dear God, they're just so, you know? Yeah. Anyway. We'll talk about that in Checks Notes. 8 years?
10 years.
In 10 years, in 2033.
When I'm in the nursing home. I'll be turning 30, like 40.
Here's the thing, is this podcast is going to last at least 10 more years, is the thing. That's the unfortunate part. And like, if we keep at the pace we're going, and we could go faster, whatever. It actually probably won't take that long. We usually do like 2 seasons a year, but since we're doing every other week, whatever. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
But like, at some point, here's the thing, Brian, is I'm gonna buy a house, is the thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna be an adult, yeah, with a house and a podcast about the Vampire Diaries.
I love that.
And I don't know if that's better or worse. Anyway, back inside the hospital, Elena's trying to use CPR to save Liz. Damon runs to get a doctor. They try and use the paddles on her, but Liz is in a little dream.
I like this. This was cute. Not cute.
This made me fucking cry.
It was sad.
It made me fucking cry. Liz is like packing with precious memories. She's like, Caroline, I'm leaving. Are you going to come say goodbye? And Liz flatlines. She's gone. And Caroline runs into the room just like 2 minutes too late. And she cries, begging for Liz to wake up. Liz sees a version of Caroline in her dreams. But when Caroline turns around, it's Caroline drenched in blood. But it's enough to wake Liz up and bring her back to life. And I think this is interesting because it explains why Colin knew her still. He saw her when she died. Like, he saw the beast who turned him into a vampire when he died. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's really fucking good.
And honestly, another thing with, like, the parallel of that, that was the first time that Liz saw Caroline as a vampire. It looked just like that, too. Well, more dark, obviously. But, like, it kind of looked like that. So it's like, ooh.
Elena runs out into the hallway, shaken, scared. Damon follows her. I'm also yawning right now inside.
I know. I just read the scene was coming. I was like, oh, I'm good.
Elena's like, I don't want to waste another minute of my life. And she and Damon kiss. And for some reason, there's a really bright light in the hall behind them. And like, pretty shot. It made Nina Dobrev's hair look really good. But also, what the fuck is this supposed to be? Do you see why I don't like this episode? It's these two scenes back to back is what makes me not like it.
Yeah, this scene felt very, like, out of place. Like, this would have been, like, a good, like, ending scene.
Not like, even. Scene like, I just think you could have surgically removed this scene, and it would have been totally fine. The episode would have felt normal.
Yeah, definitely.
I hate Delana still. They were making a little bit of a comeback. But, unfortunately,
they were.
I just checked the books. They suck.
And that comeback has been canceled.
It's been canceled. Sorry. Liz and Caroline have a little chat. Liz promises to stick around for as long as she can. She admits that she put the house in Caroline's name just in case anything happened, etc., etc. Stefan appears with coffee and Liz wants one, so Caroline goes to get one, leaving Liz and Stefan alone. Liz is like, hey, when I'm gone, Caroline's going to need somebody to help her move on and make her smile, so maybe do that. And Stefan promises that he will. And just outside the room, Caroline, listening in, heard the whole thing. Good God.
I love my little Steriline crumbs.
I like my Steriline crumbs. I think this is my least favorite of the Steriline crumbs. Can I be so honest with you? I think this is my least favorite Steriline era. I liked it earlier because it was a lot of like Caroline standing up for herself and being like, actually, fuck you, I deserve better. But I don't like this in particular. This moment.
Mm. I can see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that.
In the park, Joe holds Luke, begging him to wake up. Damon shows up and he's like, hey, great, you're not dead. Alaric will be delighted. And this was the exact moment in the episode where I was like, hey, yeah, where is Alaric, actually? Luke wakes up for just a moment, but then he takes his final breath and dies.
Shit.
Liv tries to call Luke.
There goes my gay rep.
I know. Honestly, here's the thing about this show is we can't have gay rep for more than like, what was Luke's first episode?
Like, we can't. Episode like 15 of like
season five. Really?
I want to say like 15 or 16.
He was only in 14 episodes total. 14.
And they expected me to care.
14 episodes.
His and they first expect me one to care that much?
Was, yeah, you were actually pretty close. It was actually 516 was his first episode.
Okay, I, you know what? I knew that.
You were really close.
I said that. I don't know what you're talking about.
But, man, yeah, he was really only in 14 episodes. I wonder if the other gay rep on this show lasts longer than 14 episodes. Do you think they last longer? I genuinely don't know if they last that much longer than 14. I think
they last like 2 episodes longer.
I was going to say, it's not much. It's not a full season.
Not by much. Because there's 2. They got to like, they could double it. So like, it was fine. They could double and give it to the next person.
They spread the gay rep around by making Bonnie have like a really homoerotic best friendship, but then they still ruined it by doing that other thing. So, you know. Luke wakes up, opens his eyes, takes his final breath, and then dies.
So dramatic.
He's so king.
He had
gay drama? Gay drama? Yes, gay drama. Thank you.
You literally could hear, like, if you like turn the volume up a little bit longer, louder, you can hear RuPaul say, "Sashay away."
Just fading away into the night.
And then he goes and writes a lipstick message.
And
then he's like, "I'll be back on All Stars."
Joshua gets a spidey sense and tells Liv that Luke is dead and Kai won the merge. And Liv refuses to run away with Joshua, and she stands with Tyler, breaking down in his arms. God.
That's sad. Like, I can't even imagine that.
And then Joe crying, Luke dead in her arms. Kai stands up. And now, having won the merge, he's the leader of the Gemini Coven. And he has Luke's magic.
What could possibly go wrong?
Gee, I wonder.
Jesus.
Anyway.
Freaking Christ.
He just disappears in a flash and...
saying he won and then bye.
And he's like, anyway, later. So, you know.
Jesus Christ. That's it. We're... now he's a sociopath with magic and I hate it here.
Now he's got all of, he's got all of, Luke's magic too, so... you know?
Oh yeah, I forgot that he gets magic now.
Yeah, he just like has magic.
Which, I mean, it makes sense because he's the leader of the coven, so like that's probably why they didn't want the Siphoners to get magic.
And he has, yeah, exactly. And he also has some of Luke's like personality traits, which we'll see later.
I hope it means the gay one.
Can you imagine?
Twist. I would love it.
And he's suddenly bisexual.
I would honestly, I'd be like, work.
Work it. I think it'd be really funny.
I actually think they make a joke about it in the next step. I genuinely think they do make a joke about it.
I wouldn't be shocked. It's very funny.
I hope they do.
Yeah. It's, yeah. That's the whole episode. That's it. That's all we got, dude.
Yeah, there was a lot, but then there was nothing.
There was a lot, but there was nothing at the same. It's just so weird. It's such a, like, it's a fine episode for like the first 3 quarters, and then you get to the Delana kiss and it all goes downhill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's definitely. It
Yeah.
I mean, like, I enjoyed this episode, but also, like, I feel like I also didn't enjoy it because I was having such a bad time with Delana and all of the merge shenanigans.
Yeah, same. Like, I enjoyed it, but it's just it's at the same time, it's just like, meh. It's so, a, ooh.
So what's your scale of 1 to 10? What are you ranking? 10.
I'm joking. I want to say... I'm gonna go, I think I'm gonna do 7.5. Like, it's a good episode, a lot of development happens, but just not for me. That still was good, though.
It's a good episode. Again, the Liz stuff is fucking heartbreaking, and everything else is just such a fucking clown fiesta that I feel bad being sad about the Liz stuff. I think, can I be so honest with you?
Brave.
I'm going to be so honest and controversial and brave. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give this a 6.5. The pacing really brought it down, I think, is the thing.
Yeah, the pacing was definitely
I think that's off. What killed it. And the
yeah.
The way that all of the stories were treated like they were of equal importance when they aren't is just so like, I feel like sometimes TVD has this problem where they don't know which one of their stories is the B plot and which one of their stories is the C plot. Like, they usually know their main. They're like, this is the A plot. This is what's going on. But then when you get down into, like, the B and C plots or, like, some of the more character-specific plots, I feel like they just don't know how to rank those importantly. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know how to give the enough time to each thing, and they don't know how to let it, like, breathe and not overstay its welcome. And that's what I feel like they were doing with the fucking Delana this episode. I was just fucking bored with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Fuck them. Fuck Delana. It was They're boring.
It was fun, but it just was meh.
Yeah.
It's definitely just meh.
It's a very meh episode. But again, this episode still better than pretty much any episode in season 5. So. Your mileage may vary. Who's the MVP this episode?
Me. I'm joking.
Honestly, me for sitting through all this, the fucking Delana kiss.
Like, who did the most? But, like, who? No one really won.
Stefan? On this one. Maybe? Not even?
He was just there.
But he did have that good moment with Caroline. And he did bring her back to the hospital and try and help.
Not Damon. I almost said Damon, but then I was like, meh.
I don't think Damon. Luke?
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about
it. Posthumous.
He's dead and I already forgot about him.
He's been dead for 5 minutes.
Honestly, yeah, Luke. I would say Luke.
Like,
because he actually did save the day.
Caroline, maybe? Caroline was just kind of going through it, though. I feel like we can't give her one.
Yeah.
For the honor of going through it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've gone through it and I've never gotten an award.
You know what? You know who the MVP is this episode, Brian? It's you.
I said
you're
that.
The most valuable person this episode. But I'm confirming it, and that's why I'm writing it on the spreadsheet. Brian.
I was gonna say Luke.
Okay. We can give it to the other gay person on this podcast. We'll give it to Luke.
Let the gays have one.
I'm gonna write Luke. Parentheses, the gays.
Yeah, the gays win.
The gays win this one. God. I think that's it for this week. Next episode of Afterbite, we will be watching The Day I Tried to Live.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Lots of shit goes down next episode. I genuinely don't know how. I don't know how everything is gonna fit together in next episode.
Yeah, but
it sure will. Next episode is a Bonnie episode, so you know it's going to be a banger one way or another. Thank God we didn't see her this episode, and I know why we didn't, but still, I missed her. Come back home, queen. The kids miss you.
I'm so happy we got to see Bonnie again. Like, thank the Lord above.
Seriously. That'll be next time on Afterbite. You can follow us on Twitter or any way you get your social medias at AfterbitePod. We don't have an outro anymore. We release episodes every other Friday. We don't have an outro.
Call your senator.
All your fucking senators, give money to a trans person.